So in church, I told you, we use the strength of doctrine. We use the strength of doctrine to make sense better. The strength of doctrine. We use the strength of doctrine to make sense better. We use the strength of doctrine to make believers better in conduct. The strength of doctrine. Not the strength of condemnation, not accusation, but the strength is doctrinal. We use the strength of doctrine to make believers better in conduct. So don't forget, it must be voluminous. It must be weighty. Amen. That's why I have said several times, no believer can be a sanguine. I'm just lying. No believer can be choleric. You are just borrowing things that are not yours. Praise God. Your reality is in the world. It's just impossible. You are so far from it. You cannot define yourself after those ramifications. Henceforth, therefore, know we no man after the flesh. Praise God. Are you with me? Say, I'm pleasant. Say, I'm pleasant to be with. Come on, say, I am pleasant to be with.
I am pleasant to be with.
You don't repay evil for evil. No, no, no. You are someone that people are happy to associate with you. People are happy to be with you. Amen. So, see, remember what we when we study James chapter 1, when we say God has no shadow of turning right, that is also you. That's not only God. You don't say, well, that is God, that is God's own. Well, me, I can what's that called again? Paralage, right? Tropic paralage that I can swap to the right. No, no, no. God is constant in character. You too, you are constant. You are predictable. A believer must be predictable. You must say, that brother, I don't know if you will arrest him tomorrow. Hey. Praise God. You are not angry. You are not bitter. Of course, I'm sorry, this, what I call it, it makes me better part three. Amen. Say, God has no dual nature. Say, same as me. I have no dual nature. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Colossians 3, verse 3. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead and your life is ill, is hid, is concealed. It's concealed. That means to discover you, we search Christ. It's not just saying your life, you are protected from the enemy. Of course, we are. But that context of that place is talking about your disclosure can only be unveiled in Christ. Verse 4, when Christ, our life, who is there is in italics, when Christ, our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him. It's finality. You can only be discovered in Christ. Are you with me? You can only be searched out in Christ. You can only be examined in Christ. There is no character in you that is not in Christ. The things in Christ are yours. On the cross, he said to those who are killing him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's your character. You don't find fault in people. We don't have eyes for faults. Oftentimes we get reports of people that could not even keep simple relationships. Why? Because of faults. People just don't know how to let go. You have a diary filled with February 14. He took me out on Valentine's Day. He bought ice cream without meat pie, and he's in your notes. Amen. You don't have eyes for faults. Say, I'm pleasant. So, Galatians 3:26. Don't forget what I said there. I said, your life is hid. You can only be discovered in Christ. Galatians 3:26. Don't forget, you open up scripture. Do your best to write down as much as you can so you can teach somebody so that you can help your family. It's doctrine. Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. 28, want to go? If you are there, please read with me. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Sorry, is he saying you have lost your gender? No. He's saying we don't dissociate you from saints because of your gender. Are you with me? We don't do gender class in church. I'm looking for a better ground to put there. We don't dissociate you. We cannot examine you. We cannot decipher you based on gender. You are hid in Christ, concealed in Christ. Meaning, to search out what is in you, you look at Christ. You don't look at she's a female. That she's this. Sorry, she's a female. Sorry, tautology. Amen. Praise God. She's a she, right? So we don't use all those criteria to find you out. I have told you, there is no married class, single class in church. There is no edge. Nobody is a pastor because he's married. It's just like, maybe all the pastors, every pastor here is married. It's just, it's time and chance. You understand? Not doctrine. Amen. It's not doctrine that pastors must be. No, we don't do ring class, no ring class. Okay, your ring is in the what? Third finger. Your own is in. We have the association of people who are, your ring is here. So what's the name of that? If your ring is here, this one is there. This one. Produce. Wicklow. This one is Wicklow. That means you have. That means you have Wicklow. How will your ring be here? Yeah, I don't understand. Praise God. So, see 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Simple. So, the condition is in Christ. That's all. We have his very spirit. See, there is strength in our nation. There is strength in who you are. You are not bitter. You are not angry. You are pleasant to be with. Oh, glory to God. You are not flat. You are not, I just don't know. I can't just no self-control. No, that's not you. Amen. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. There is strength in our nature. There is strength in our condition to correct our conduct. There is strength in our condition to correct our conduct, to make us better. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You walk in him. Your duty is not to receive Christ again. Your duty is not to renew your salvation. Your duty is to walk. Is to walk. Amen. How? Next verse. Check your Bible. Yes. Rooted, right? And built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. So it's teaching. The rooting, everything will be by teaching as you have been taught. God is not going to use any cane to cause you to do the right thing. No. He's going to use learning, teaching. For they shall all be taught of God. No one shall say that, let me quote Hebrews chapter 8 for you. Say, they shall not say every man is neighbor, every man is brother. Say, know the Lord, for all shall know me. You are taught of God. The same anointing which resides in you, which is the Holy Ghost, the same teach you all things, and you need not that any man should teach you. This happens by the ministry group. Praise God. So, back to Colossians 2. See verse 8 now. Verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy. Vain deceit. Rhymes. If you want to happen, You must sharpen. If I have not, that's what Bible is talking about, amen. Imagine if you are with microphone right now. So I'm vain deceit. I'm coming back to this moment, perhaps in the second sermon. Vain deceit, like just vain expectation, vanities. Baiting believers with juicy things to like some people are saying, well, we are not telling them that God will give you contract, God will give you this. Seriously, I can't find it there. I wish I can. I love contracts too. But if like
why? Oh God. You know, it's just in nature of
human beings and of normal humanity. Like, you tend to go where you think they are appealing to your needs. That would mean you have a need at home. Once you come to church, and if pastor, okay, imagine, for instance, if people think some things are word of knowledge. They're not word of knowledge. I have a lot of single people here now. I just come to them and say, I saw a vision this night. And overnight, I just saw bones gathering. Ezekiel 37, bones to bones. Hallelujah. Your bone is coming. I said, don't worry. It won't be just bone alone. God is going to cover both of you with what? With flesh. Wow. That's not word of knowledge. That is word from knowledge. It's simple. I mean, how will you give a prophecy about marriage and somebody, nobody will claim it? Yeah, even some people marry, they want to get on that one. Not here anyway. Praise God. So it's just baiting believers. I prophesy unto you, that contract is yours. I will receive it. It's just to bait you. So we often forget that God too has a need. We are in church for God's need. I'm sorry. Christianity is not primarily to meet your need. That's tough, right? It's what we have been brought up with. He told them in Matthew 11:28, say, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy. My yoke there is it's my demand. Yoke can be easy or grievous. So my own demand is easy. So that means, yes, there is a demand of Jesus. My own yoke. There is an expectation of Jesus. So, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you are what? Complete in him. You are complete. You are complete. Say, I'm complete. Say, nothing missing. Nothing broken. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 9 that in Christ dwell the fullness, and you are now complete in him that has the fullness. Oh, glory to God. Can't you see that you cannot lack good character? You can't lack good way of communicating to people? Well, you are complete. You are complete, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Now, this is why we have Romans chapter 6. Please go there. The teaching in Romans chapter 6 is about the nature, but the correction is about the conduct. Is to use the reality of the nature to make the conduct better. Romans 6 verse 1, look at your Bible. Come on, everybody. Always make that attitude. You look at your Bible. Make it good. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? They tell you 20 things to do to be holy is rubbish. Come on. 25 things to do to be upright is rubbish. You just focus on that nature. It makes conduct better. Say, God makes me better. See Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That means he's saying, shall we continue in that rebellious state and the rebellious conduct? Please, how will a man continue in sin? There will be some conduct. Are you with me? I could have gone to Romans chapter 5 to tell you the analysis. If you remember our analysis of Romans chapter 5 verse 12. You remember how death passed upon all? Okay, don't worry. Tuesday we'll be here again, right? We'll fire up. Praise God. So, there's a place, like I said, like if I use the word the journey of sin, sin starts from where? When loss is conceived, right? It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So, there's a conception in the earth. But for you to continue in it, there will be some actions to that effect. Are you with me? So, shall we continue in sin is both the nature and the actions. But see the answer in verse 2.
God forbid, how shall we that are what? Dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't forget, he's not saying we cannot. He's rather saying that that is not God's expectation towards you. God forbid does not mean it's a Greek word, just name, something like that. It's just a double negative. It's, God is not in that Greek word. It's just like certainly no. So he says, shall we continue saying that grace may abound? Certainly not. Why? That is not God's expectation towards you. You are dead to sin, our nation. So he now uses your nation right now to explain why you cannot what? Continue in sin. See verse 3. Don't you know that as many of us that are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, right? Are you with me? Come on. So, see verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him. Is that nature of conduct? Is that nature of conduct? Come on. So, that is the reality of what Christ has done. He said we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, what should happen to us? Even so, we should now what? Walk. So, based on Christ being raised from the dead without sin, so we should what? Walk. So, that walking is that nature of conduct? Conduct. The first part, nature rights, but the result of the nature, it will, some people say, well, Christianity is inside, everything is inside. Where is the Holy Ghost? Inside. Where is the power of God? Inside. Can you use the sick? Yes, but where do you use the sick? It's inside too. Do you walk in love? Where do you walk in love? Inside. Ah, no. There you go. So you see, understanding nature empowers us to walk in the newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, say knowing this. Say, I know this. Say, I know this. I realize this. My old man is crucified with him. I know this. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Nature, right? So, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that now, henceforth now, we should not what? Serve sin. He used the nature to tell you again that you can't continue that way again. Why? Something definite has happened to you. So, can you see the twist of words? He's not condemning them. He's rather using the strength of their condition to make their daily conducts better. This is how you correct people too. Remember the classwork we did in the video, right? Remember that? We talked about, okay, if you meet somebody that is a kleptomania or something that the other class, how do you bring corrections to them? You don't start with the conduct. You teach them, well, this is who you are. This is what Christ has done for you. Amen. Come on, amen. Where are we? I'm in verse what? Verse 7? Verse 7, right? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Nation, verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. 11 wants to go, everybody. Likewise. What's the meaning of likewise? Based on all I have said, based on all that reality, in the same way that Christ has done this for you, so likewise, what should you do? Reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 12. Let not. Say our duty. Say our responsibility. Say I can. Say I can let not. Because my nature has been made better. Good. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its laws. Neither yield ye yourself as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. 14. For sin shall not what? Have dominion over you. Okay? For you are not under the law, but under what? Under grace. That's awesome. This one, 14, is an issue of conduct. Think. Nature, thank you. That is finality. Do you understand? That is communication pattern. No matter what you think you are doing, God says, sin shall not have dominion over you. So what if you have to tell God that, God,
What of what I did yesterday? Shut up. What will you tell you? Say, but God, I'm saying, God, you say, the sin shall not have dominion over you.
Sir, but I am fled. I don't know how to.
Shut up! Sin shall not have dominion over you. Just like ask then, what I have cleansed, don't call common. I am a Jew. I have not eaten anything. This is Lisa. This. Shut up. That meat is sweet. Eat. Sanctified by the word of God. Amen. You know, see how some people here that they don't know how to eat and grass cutter, they don't eat some nice bush meat from their ancestral. Are you part of Bubu? Ondo people. Amen. So you can't eat okay. Ah, sweet meat. When I realized, when I understood, that's when I started eating pork. See, some of you are still rebellious. It's nice meat, man. Are you a Muslim? No, that thing, do you know that thing? It's rubbed on some Christians systematically that, pork is unclean meat. Systematically, not directly, it's just systematically. Where do you get it from? Amen. Eat it. Remember the one I bought on that Saturday church on that day? Wow. Red meat. Amen. Say it's possessed. What is possessed? You are the one that is possessed. Amen. You've got God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, all of them resident inside of you, conveniently sitting. You are saying one meat is possessed. A meat is possessed. How come? Hallelujah. Come on, let's finish this. We're in verse 15 now. Now, see 15. What then shall we sin? Now, that will be what? Conduct, right? Now you understand that 14 will be nature. 14 is finality. This is what God has done. By the reason of what I have done for you, sin shall not what? Have dominion over you. Now 15 now says, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Meaning, certainly not. 16, don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. 17, one to go. But God be thanked. Hallelujah. That what? You were the servant. So can we call any believer a servant of sin? No. He said you were, past tense, servant of sin, but you have obeyed. Amen. From the earth, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. The doctrine is the grace of God. It's the doctrine. 18. One to go, let's read together. I love this. Being then made free from sin, you became servant of righteousness. Just he just talking. I said you have become. So a man that is smoking weed. Strong weed. Thank you. You know the difference between weed and strong weed? The guy. But he's in Christ anyway. So we can't find fault in him. Amen. No, Paul stood in the midst of the people where he was persecuting before. You know, since he was persecuting, he just said, see, guy, I have wronged no man. Yeah? So he said, hey, Paul, you forgot Stevie. I have wronged no man. Yeah! Man of God is lying. Now today, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things passed away. Amen. Praise God. He's not denying you. He's just emphasizing his reality. That's all. He's not denying. But you can't say that maybe you married when you are not born again. Now you say, okay, now I'm in Christ. I was never married. You were married by force. Amen. So let's see this. We are 19 now. Now, so first I'll explain this 19 for you. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. That means he's about to use an imperfect communication because of the infirmity of your flesh. Because at times, the human agency wants, loves to be told to just do it like this, you understand? So because of that, he's now saying, okay, let me say it this way again so you can understand. For as you have yielded your members, servant to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield yourself your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. So that means if we are just telling a believer that try and do this, it's not wrong, but it's just a weak communication. You understand?
But God see 20. For when you were servants of sin. Now he's saying something else. He's telling him now to yield yourself to righteousness. But now say you were the servant of sin. You are free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things which you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. 22. Once we were, I love this. But now being what? Made free from sin. Who are you? You become servants. Look at the Bible now. Come on. Let's 22 and 23 together without stopping. Want to go? But now, being made free from sin, you become servant to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and your end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God everlasting. Hallelujah. Just finality. Praise God. Say, I've been made free from sin. Say, this is whom I am. Say, this is my default right now. Servants unto righteousness. I serve righteousness. So that would mean if we tell a believer to serve righteousness, we are just trying to help him to understand what we are saying. Are you with me? So because your default state is you are already a servant of, you are born serving righteousness. Born doing the right thing. Praise God. So we must be louder about the believer's nature in bringing correction. We are not bitter people. We are not difficult people. We don't find fault. We forgive people. We are not difficult. We are not bitter. We don't find fault. Jesus doesn't find fault. Go back to that James 1. James 1 verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men how liberally and what? Who has another version for our bread nuts? Come on, read your version, bro. Hallelujah. Generously and graciously. Any other word for our bread nuts? Hallelujah. He will not resent it, right? So, without rebuke. So, okay, let's see that one. That word upbraid there, upbraid is a Greek word, onedizo, one nedizo. Just write one, then idizo. Okay, O-N-E, I-D-E-Z-O. Amen. It means to reproach, to revel. Like you are casting your teeth at somebody to reveal somebody. Reveal, R-E-A-L-E. To reproach somebody. Now, he said God does not reproach. Now, he's not saying he will not reproach you when you do something right. That would mean you have done something that demands that you should be reproached. But yet, he will not. Wow. This is who you are, brethren. So, but we now add a shade somewhere in Mark 16, verse 16. Let's do a small study. All the time. Oh, the day is still so young. Mark 16, 14. So we have seen in James 1, 13, that God does not find fault. James 1, verse 5, rather. That God does not find fault, does not upbraid. But let's see what Jesus, what we have in this place. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, I'm sure you open your Bible. Come on. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and as they sat at meat, and what? What did he do? He said he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they have not believed them which has seen him after he was risen. Wow. So we now found Jesus doing what God does not do. How come? So quickly, let's take a quick look through the Bible. Let's see everywhere that word upgrade is used. Let's see if Jesus does it again. So, because if it's about the, don't forget, this is what Moses did, remember? Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, remember Matthew 19, right? Say, shall a man put away his wife for every cause? Say, no. Say, why then did Moses tell us that we can give her a right of divorce? Say, but Moses, because of what? The hardness of your heart, he changed it for you. You understand? Uh-huh.
Because he allowed you, he told you to give her a writing of the person, but from the beginning, it was not so. So Moses found fault in them. Remember Hebrews chapter 8, said, for finding fault with them. He now said, days come, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant. Are you with me? Am I too fast? Say no. Thank you. So go to Matthew 11 verse 20. We also found the same thing there. That is the first two places we saw that it looks like. Matthew 11, 20. Then began he to upbraid the city, to find fault against the city, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So how come Bible said Jesus found fault? So that means when you are an unbeliever, what did he do to you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not in Putin. So how come we have to play that? He's now saying for their unbelief, he's finding fault. So let's check the other place where the same word is used. Matthew 5 verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. That is not God reviling you. So it's a bad thing when men shall revile you and persecute you, and you shall say all manner of evil against you. That's reviling you. That's upbringing, to say all manner of evil against you. Okay. Firstly, for my sake, see chapter 27, verse 44. Matthew 27, 44, be fast though. The thieves also which were crucified with him or braided him, they cast the same in his teeth. That means they upbraided him. That same record there. Upbraid. Now, see Mark 15, 22, be fast. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now down from the cross, that we may see him and believe him. And they that were crucified with him, also what? They revile him. That's the same thing we read in Matthew. They revile him. Are you there? Hope you are seeing this. That's Mark 15:32. Go to Luke 6:22. Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach, that's the same big word there, upbraid, shall reproach you and cast you out. Luke 6:22, come on. Cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Romans 15, verse 3. Romans chapter 3, 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproach thee, reproach, that's the same word upbraid, has fallen on me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Just look at the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of all those who believe. Lastly, let me just stop here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory of our God rested upon you. Amen. So, clearly, Jesus cannot be doing the same thing that sinners do to saints. Rather than, Jesus could not have been doing the same thing that sinners still do. Told you on the cross, when they were saying all this against him, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, even to the man in unbelief, remember in our series, Understand Genesis, what is God's word? Remember, please. What does God do to the man in unbelief? Appeal. He appeal. My God. That's why it's called God's long suffering. So what he did was to... So those two places that we read, it looks like that was just a translation issue. Jesus was rather correcting them. He was correcting them, not condemning them. He didn't find fault in them. Rather, he brought them chastening. He brought them teaching. He brought them instruction. Remember that Job 33? He said in the night, in a dream, rather in a dream of the night, he wake up. Open it for me.
Please open it for me first. Job 33, right? Find that place for me, verse 14. I love that place so much. You see what God does? Because in upbraiding, you will pull a man down. But in chastening or in correction, you will nurture a man up. Okay, let's read together. Want to go? Yes? For God speaketh once, yes? Twice. Man perceives it not. So what does he do? In a dream? In a vision? Yes? Wow. That he may withdraw man from his pride. Hide pride from man. So how does he save man from destruction? Instruction. Praise God. So now, let's go back to those disciples that Mark said he upbraided. So go back to Luke 24, verse 24. Luke 24, 24. To be fast. Luke 24, 24. And certain of them which were with us, okay, I just want to summarize this. You know the story, went to the sepulchre and found it even so, and the women, but him they saw not. So verse 25, see what he said to them. Then he said to them, oh fools and slow of heart. This is describing them. To believe all that the prophet have spoken. I think if he truly was seeing them as foolish, what should he do? Should just leave them now. Why will he call them fools yet he's still there? Say, oh fools, slow of heart to believe all the prayer has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, allow these things, and to enter his glory? 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. What did he now do? Expounded to them, in how many scripture? All the scripture, the things concerning himself. Go to 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening. And the day is fast spent. I think if he was condemning them all through, I didn't think they would say, tell him to abide with them. Praise God. So he brought them correction. Correction. 36. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. See this, and said unto them, peace be unto you. 37. But they were terrified and afraid and supposed that they have seen the spirit. 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself, and do be and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. See 40. And when he has thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. Okay. 41. One to everybody. And why they yet what? Believe not for joy and wondered. He said unto them, okay, have you here any meat? Did he condemn them? This is the upgrade that Mark recorded in such an hurry. See 30:42. And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and an honey cup, and he took it and did eat before them. Now 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the psalm concerning me. 45. Want to go? Then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. 46 now, and said unto them, this is it is written, thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning as Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And now behold, I send the promise. You don't send a promise upon a man you are upbraiding. You don't quickly start giving him gifts. Amen. Say, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. Amen. Praise God. So also, I tell you the truth, this also should affect even the way we respond to people on Facebook. Rebellious people. If you have noticed me, you have to, my long suffering, although my long suffering should be, let me, 7 days or something. I can give you that long suffering, I will be replying you. Until you are taking a stand in your nothingness. It is when, at times, I'm replying someone, I post a scripture. He says something else. I will post this again. See what I'm saying. Open your eyes. Read it again. Read it.
So you should see, we are sent to rebellious people.
It's trying to come on Tuesday for understanding Genesis and Genesis. That should be from part 6.
A lot of havoc has been done in the world already. Men are not born rebellious, but rebellious has been sold unto them and they have received it. They have been influenced into rebellion. So we can't go, and we are not Jonah. You can't go and be ringing the bells of judgment. We are not called to ring the bells of judgment. We are called to bring them correction, to nurture them up. I told you, I said, even Peter, that denied Jesus 3 times, when Jesus later saw him in John chapter 21, what did he say? Feed my sheep. He said, do you love me? He said, yes. Feed me. He never talked about the experience. I told you, if Judas was alive, he will not have talked about it. Hallelujah. See, that's our Savior. These are men of God today.
Oh, Jude. So, because of that damsel, you say you never knew me. Oh, Jude. Damsel. 16 years old.
But that's not what Jesus said, man. He's always lovely. He believes the best of people.
And with the strength of that correction he brought to Peter, saw what he did? From Acts 2, he now gave his all for the ministry. Say, I bring correction. I don't condemn. So, this must, of course, don't forget, you know, in treating unbelief, what you do is, you have to identify ringleaders. The ringleaders in issues. You separate those ones, ringleaders. Those ones, they are called the deceiver. For every false doctrine, there's always the deceiver and the deceived. Are you with me? The deceiver and the what? Deceived. You first try and separate them. That deceiver, what do? You act that one. But the deceiver, what do? Bring down correction. But the deceiver is somebody that he has signed that I am not taking this. Just like the guy that told me some years ago, he said, come to an open debate that, yeah, let's come and come and defend that salvation. And I told him, okay. In Sodom and Gomorrah, what did Abraham said? Abraham told God, or vice versa, Selah, really, that if I find 10 people in the city, will you save up? What was God's response? I will. That's strong. He didn't say, if everybody repents, so if I find 10 people that have repented, and the remaining, let me see, maybe 100,000, or I don't know how many, 50,000, are remain rebellious. Will you destroy those rebellious people? What was the answer? He said no. I said, why should it be impossible for God to save the world based on the righteousness of that woman? Respond. Praise God. So, we must be, don't allow people to box you into the corner of abusive words. Don't allow them. That is their mission. They want to make you so at the end of the day, can you see, is a man of God, though? Is a man of God, though? They want to box you into that corner. Don't allow them. Amen, amen.
Okay, let me hurry up now.
So, you bring correction with doctrine. With doctrine. Don't forget, I am not saying you should be friends with preachers of false doctrine. That's what the Bible says. If you see this guy, don't bid him good speed. Like, if anyone come on to you not bring this doctrine, don't tell him goodbye. Like, such people are evil. But the deceived, bring them correction. Amen, amen. So, you are his finished work. You are God's finished work. Your action are not always your valuation of the finished work, but your action should be the valuation. Your action should reflect that finished work of Christ in you. Corrections are for you to pay attention to who you are. That is repentance. That's the meaning of repentance. Repentance means to have a change of thinking. Correction is to make you better, not to find fault in you, not to investigate the root cause. Some people, they like investigating. What are you investigating? Wednesday I did this. You are now saying, what are you investigating? Bring him correction. Amen. Amen. Come on. So also, don't forget, this church is a family. The local church is where this family life is practiced. I don't think you will go and put the shame of your family on Facebook. No. No man puts the shame of his family on Facebook. No one gossips the shame of his family to his friends. You cover. Love covers multitude of sin. You must learn to bring correction to a family without convicting. At times, when you just say, this brother, this sister is just like this. Have you prayed for him? Why not pray for him? Why not just buy him a book? Why not pray for him, buy him a book about that situation, and give to him? But nowadays, we just enjoy the gossip. Gossip, gossip, gossip. That's not who we are, come on. Praise God. That's not who we are. We make people better. Amen. You find ways of making people better. Don't find fault. That is not your savior. That's not what your savior would have done. Amen, amen. So also, see how those epistles are written. After Paul would have corrected them, done said this and that, he would now later say, the grace of God is with you. So you will sandwich correction in between what? The reality. Sandwich. So lastly, before I wrap this up, also, God does not use sickness and disease and natural disaster to correct us. He does not use it. Don't say something unpleasant happened to you. It is because of what I did. No, please, it's not. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee. Your duty is to resist the devil. He will flee. I just show you one that I've not explained so well here. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. That's the story of when Elijah ran away from his duty post and he met some things on the way. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. See now, because it's not Romans. See how you are looking for First King. It's there. Are you looking for it? Okay. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rends the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord... Can you see communication pattern? He said the Lord is passing by. Now, he said the Lord passed by. He said the Lord broke... Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rends the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was where? Was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. 12, want to go? After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. 13, want to go? And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped up his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So, truly, did we see fire? Or was the Lord in the fire? Earthquake, yes. Was the Lord in the earthquake? Let me ask you, anybody intelligent there? So, what brought the fire? Where did the fire come from? Now, see this though. Don't forget, maybe somebody is walking in rebellion right now. He's now going on the expressway. Something happened to his car. Everything just went away. And then say, ah! See how God is correcting him. Now, he showed you the calamities. He said, now, the guy was running away. There was an earthquake. There was fire. There was tremor, everything. He said, but the Lord is not in that one. He said, but God was where? In the still small voice. So, what brought the fire? Any smart person? Come on now, try. I'm not really listening to all that. God's action. Is a man that what? That. Amen. He's used by. You are almost there. No, he's actually almost there. Okay, don't forget. All those killings that Elijah did he do it too by the power of God? Eh? Okay. I think you don't know what I could mean by the power of God, so I have to explain that to you. Okay, did he use God as a tool to do all those killings? Huh? Okay, sorry, my grammar is not yet good enough. All those killing 400 prophets of Baal, causing famine on land for three years and a half years, was it God's making? So how did he do it? How did he do it? You are right, so, but I didn't want you to go that way. Don't talk about the exclusive. Talk about dynamics. Yes. Huh? What did you say, sir? He spoke it out. Yes. Just use one word now, angelic authority. Abi, is it not? So, what goes around comes around. Selah, I've explained. So, everything, the fire, the earthquake will be, who is chancing in? It's not the same people he was using before. And he was not running from his duty post. But where is God? Still small voice. Because rush to Romans, because I'm almost done. So there were the angels he was using. They are the ones that are now trying to deal with him back. So when you are forming a ministry on fall down and die, when there's somebody to kill again, hope you know where they will come. Amen. Have you watched Abraham Lad before? That's my thought. Or local truth. No. Let's lay down there. Romans 11, verse 2. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Don't you know the scripture said of Eli- what the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thy altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. So, verse 4, that's where I'm going. Want to go? But what said the answer of God unto him? So the answer of God is the still small voice. The answer of God, the correction of God was in words. I have reserved to myself, even how many? 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So how did God correct Elijah? Huh? How? Words, instruction, not calamity. Our experiences are most times our own making, not God's making. Not God's making. Praise God. Praise God. Say, I resist evil always. Say, I resist evil always.
I resist evil.
Say, I don't see evil as a consequence of my failure. So, same way God deals with us is the same thing we must replicate. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4:35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. So it was now full, and he was in the inner part of the ship, asleep in a pillow. And they wake him and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And you see those who are carried down that we perish. And he said, and he arose, and what? He rebuked the wind. So you don't look at your Bible. You don't look at me. You always get carried away. Yeah. And he arose, and what did he do? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, when there was a calamity, what did Jesus first do? Speak to the calamity or speak to them? Sir? To the calamity, right? He calmed the storm. Then he now faced them. Why are you so fearful? Ah, is it that you have no faith? Amen. So, if these guys in unbelief, if he was to upbraid them, what would he do? He said, see your life. See your life. This time, it will take you away. And guess what? That method brought repentance. See the next word, 641. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Yeah, what manner of man is Jesus that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's see another, the last one. I think that should be the last one before I drop this. Matthew 14:24. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spake unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter said, answered them, and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." 29, want to go? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down on the ship, he walked on the water. Hallelujah. And he went to Jesus. 30. And when he saw the wind, what? Boisterous. He was what? Afraid. What is fear? Fear is a sin, no? Hope you know. Some of you, all your only quote is, "All I shall go to hell." Do you know the fearful is part of the people going to hell? That Revelation chapter 22. You know, 20 or 22. He said, both the fearful and unbelieving. So fear is a sin already. So he was afraid. And what happened? He began to sink. And he said, "Oh, Jesus, save me." That prayer is not a prayer of faith. Amen. What should Jesus have said? "Ah, Peter, see your life. Ah, Peter, you are going. Can't you just have faith? Peter, confess the word. Confess the word. Peter, you are going like this." Peter, you are sinking. Even the sinking to me is a miracle. God, you don't begin to sink on the sea. You sink. you go down. You don't begin. Amen. Come on, let's see wonderful say. What did he do? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Hallelujah. He caught him. Even in your disobedience, a guy cried to him, what will he do? He will catch you. And said, after catching, praise God, "Oh, thou of little faith." Why did you doubt? Why did you tell him this before catching him? He would have sinked forever. Praise God. Say the Savior is wonderful. Praise God. Come on. So, he didn't use the sinking power of the water to correct him. No, he saved him, then he corrects him with words. With words. With words. This is also who we are. Same way he deals with us, the same way we deal with people. Amen? You know, I remember kids, as we were growing up, has mom done this to us before? Maybe if you do something wrong, she refuses to give us food. Amen? I have heard of parents. Once your child does something wrong, just today, no dinner. Or best, they give you food without meat. Don't train up your kids that way. Amen. Say, "I'm wonderful." Say, "I'm beautiful." Say, "I'm beautiful." Say, "I'm pleasant." Say, "I'm non-temperamental." Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, glory to God. So, we must not threaten people. Start praying in tongues gradually. We must not threaten people. Even when you are talking to your subordinates, when you are talking to people who are below you, sorry, people who are below you in your office, you learn to use words like "please," "I'm sorry," "thank you." Are you with me? Don't just, because you are the boss, it doesn't mean you just order people around. Be pleasant. Yeah, please, sorry, thank you. That's who you are. You don't boss people around with authority. Say, "I'm wonderful to be with." Hallelujah. Say, "Even sinners, they get convenient around me. They don't run away. And I bring them correction." Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, you learn to bring people correction, to bring people up without condemning them. Yeah, that's who you are. Oh, glory to God. I am pleasant. We are pleasant. Just pray to everybody. We are pleasant. We don't find fault. Love is all we have got. And love is all we give. Love is all we know. Love is all we give. The Father is kind to all. We are kind to all. Pray in tongues. I'm done. Come on, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I will pray for some people during the second sermon. It will be brief, but I would like to pray for some of you right here. You are wonderful to be with. You are not cantankerous. You are not quarrelsome. You are not high-minded. No, you have the nature of your Father.
You have the very nature of God. He tabernacles in you, he dwells in you. Come and pray in tongues. You are not praying in tongues. That's why I bring, that's why I ask your life. You know? Come on, pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't allow me to change it for you. Because of the hardness of your heart. Amen. Ah, you get it. That's that. Why are you wearing jacket to church? I will change it for you right now. Amen, amen. Come on, pray in tongues. Come on, pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just say those words. I'm a good person. Say, I'm a good person.
I'm a good person.
Say, I'm good.
I'm good.
Are you doubting yourself? Hope you are. You say, ah, me good girl. Ah.
I'm good.
Say, I'm good. Come on.
I'm good.
Oh, glory to God. Pray in tongues. You are saying in tongues.